National Reparations Rally, Saturday, May 17th, a festival of unity and celebration of the ongoing quest for reparations, as well as the 100th anniversary of the birth of Malcolm X. Speakers include Michael Eric Dyson, Robin Ruth Simmons, O'Malley Yeshitela, Ajua Ayatoro, with virtual remarks from Marilana Karenga, actress Erica Alexander, and Ben Chavis. Performers include the rapper Razzcaz, along with DC's own Ayanna Gregory, Afi Soul, Lucy Murphy, Nana Malaya, and the Malcolm X dancers and drummers, Free Benjamin, Randy Payton, and Laini Mataka. May 17th, Landsberg Park, 1098 Delaware Avenue, Southwest, 11 a.m.
Now we're gonna make reparations rise. Agitate, educate, organize. Now we're gonna make reparations rise. Agitate, educate, organize.
Greetings. WPFW is pleased to announce the relaunch of our major donor program, now known as the Jazz and Justice Circle. If you gave $1,000 last year or so far this year, you are automatically enrolled in this cherished group of listener members, and we thank you. Benefits of your membership are at WPFWFM.org under the Support Us tab at the top of the homepage is the Jazz and Justice Circle. Interested in joining this select group? Please consider a donation of $1,000 or more online at WPFWFM.org. Your donation helps WPFW build a better world, one broadcast at a time.
I'm Muiza Muntali, host of Africa Now, and you're tuned to member-supported WPFW Washington.
The ones who stepped off the slave ships, the ones who came willingly, the ones whose stolen, unceded land we're standing on right now, to give thanks to those who dreamed of this day when we would come together as one to live out the promise of democracy, that we the people, in order to form a more perfect what?
Union.
What?
Union.
They didn't say organization. They didn't say association. They said union. That's one together. And we are the only force other than government that tells capital how to spend the money. And we're not going back and we're not giving up because we are standing on the shoulders of the ancestors who dreamed of this day.
And good morning. This is To Heal DC, Monday, May 5th. We are spending this particular hour looking at labor, May Day, and also some sound from our DC Emancipation Day speak out. And I'm extremely excited. Well, first, let me say, of course, this is the first Monday of our pledge drive, and we are counting on you to continue to support us as you have for 48 years. We just celebrated our 48th anniversary. You can make a donation by calling 202-588-9739 or going to the website, wpfw.org. I'm not sure what our goal is, but I'm going to guess it's probably around $700 we need to make for this hour. And $750, we know we can do it. And we'll tell you how to do it by Cash App and text and more. But I am extremely excited to introduce our first guest, our main guest for this hour. His name is Josh Armstead. He is a young person, a union organizer with Unite Here Local 23. I met him on May Day at the rally at Freedom Plaza, and he has a lot to share with us. So good morning, Josh.
Good morning. Pleasure to be on.
I'm very excited to have you on. So let's start with Unite Here Local 23. You are an organizer. Tell us a little bit first about Unite Here 23, your local, and then we'll also talk more about your own personal history.
Sure, absolutely. So Unite Here Local 23 is a food service and hospitality workers union, primarily based here in D.C., but also in 14 other states. We represent cooks, bartenders, servers, dishwashers, suite attendants at many places across the area, from Nats Park to the Smithsonian's to the universities like Georgetown and Catholic and American, to Amtrak workers. If you fly out and you buy something from a concession stand at DCA or IAD, those are my brothers and sisters. If you get a meal catered to you on a flight, well, those meals are made by my brothers and sisters also. So we're a wide-ranging local with about 5,000 members here in D.C., 20,000 members across the country, and 300,000 plus if you count every local in the United States and Canada. So that's Unite Here.
Yes, and you shared with me a little bit about the history of Unite Here. Can you go? It goes back through the decades. So tell us a little bit about that history.
Yeah, so, you know, Unite Here, like many unions, is agglomerated together from predecessor unions, is what we call them, right? So some were originally HERE, that's part of the HERE, mm-hmm. which is hotel employees, restaurant employees. Then there's the Unite part, which was basically formed from the Lady Garments Worker Union and other associated unions in the textile industry. But for DC specifically, for Local 23, and also Local 25, which is our sister union in the District of Columbia, Local 23 goes back at least 87 years, starting in 1935, when a woman by the name of Rosa Lewis founded the union with her co-workers at Minor Elementary School because they were federal government cafeteria workers. And, let's keep it a buck. They got tired of being paid like crap. And so over the years from 1935 to about 1947, the union in the District of Columbia in the federal cafeteria system grew exponentially. And there were many gains that happened. So, you know, like if you go on our website, it'll say like, oh, you know, we formed in 2009. And yeah, that's true. Local 23 as an entity formed in 2009. But the history of the local and its roots in D.C. go back at least 87 years. Black-led, black membership, you know, primarily just an organizing local in the district who has played, you know, a role in D.C. history that isn't often noticed or seen or, you know, talked about in any real way. And, you know, whenever I have these types of discussions with people, especially members, it's like, no, like we and our predecessor unions, our forebears, played a real big part in, like, you know, the desegregation of D.C. We have radical roots. Like, this is our history. We should embrace it.
Absolutely. And of course, we just had May Day last Thursday. I was really excited to hear your speech. you were outstanding and very inspiring. What you think about when you think about May Day and what you want listeners to think about and some of what you said on Thursday.
You know, I would like the listeners out there, you know, anyone I talk to about this, to remember May Day is our holiday. When I mean our holiday, I mean a workers' holiday, but also a workers' remembrance. But also, it's one of the best American holidays that this country has ever produced. Because it's not just a day of, oh, well, you know, maybe I go to a rally here or maybe I go to a rally there. It's a day of action. It's a day of organizing. It's a day that we pledge to each other that we are the working class of this country, regardless of race or creed, and that we remember who our true opponents are, which is capital and capitalism, which from foundation of when that holiday was memorialized by the international working class and the Second Internationale, right? Like, to remember that that holiday grew out of not being worked to death, right? Starting with the general strike that happened in, I believe, 1886, 1887 for the 8-hour day. And, you know, fast forwarding a couple of hundred years to the now, right? Like, it's to make sure that we remember, especially like larger unions in the AFL or independent unions or whatever, right? Regardless of jurisdiction, that our primary objective is to organize the unorganized. Our primary objective is to make sure that we don't leave workers behind. There's always something to talk about with a fellow worker. And that's what I hope, you know, people took away from my speech and take away from May Day, right? It's not just a one-day thing. It's a, you know, this is the movement. And, like, this is where we have to remember what our core value is.
Yes, and it's no surprise to many of us that the powers that be made sure that May Day used to be celebrated. I know when I was a child, it was still being celebrated on May 1st, but the powers that be changed that and pushed it into September. But tell us a little bit about the history of May Day and also your own history that makes you see how important this May Day holiday is.
Well, I'll be first to say, you know, I've been in the labor movement with Unite Here for about, God, it's been too long. I want to say at the very least 12 years now. I used to work at Georgetown University. I was a dishwasher there. And a worker from another university had approached me and told me, hey, you know, like, if you want to get the same benefits and the same pay that other workers 2 miles up the road are getting, you need to do something about that. You need to join the union. And, you know, I'd already signed my card, but I didn't know what the union really was. But he told me that I had to start talking to my coworkers. And so I did. And, you know, when you start talking to your coworkers, you go through a process of, like, you know, first, like, okay, well, I know Fernandez, right? But, like, you don't really think that Fernandez will, like, follow you into battle, as it was. Right. Like, you don't think like Fernandez will like also stick his neck out with you to like organize for better. But I was shocked that my coworkers, Fernandez and all the rest of them did. And it started a path of 12 years of traveling across the country, meaning hundreds, if not thousands of workers in Unite Here and unorganized shops and in other unions. And it's a choice and a decision I've made in my life that I've come to not regret, even though the work is very hard. But I can't imagine my life without having made the decision to say, you know what, I want to just not just survive in D.C. I want to thrive in D.C. I don't want to go down the same path that I saw my family go, where you go to work, you pay your bills, you do everything right, and you're still trapped in a cycle of hopelessness over and over and over again with nothing to show for it. I didn't want that for myself. So, you know, that's kind of my origin story. And now being a staff organizer and the chapter vice president of Unite Here, I get to do that full time outside of my shop where I started from. And wow. I think that kind of goes back to like the origin of May Day in itself. It's like, okay, right? Like, it's not just remembrance of, like, you know, the Haymarket Affair, which was memorialized by the Second Internationale in 1889 because of the deaths of 4 men who were hanged, you know, unjustly, or even a remembrance just for the strike, right? Like, if you go to every continent, whether it's Europe, Asia, Africa, Australia, right, South America, right, like, and also our burgeoning, emerging militant working class in this country and in this continent, you will find that people remember. But it's not just about remembrance. It's about taking that pledge and taking that vow to make sure that we are actually organizing. And not that we're organizing to be like, oh, well, the movement rests on my shoulders alone. No, we are organizing in solidarity. There is no person who is greater than the other. And the only way we are going to defeat the powers that be, as you say, is by realizing that. And so that is what May Day means to me. That's my origin story. You know, the history itself, right? There were many strikes after Haymarket in this country. Many organizers who are known and many organizers who are unknown in the movement, but in the years that have gone by. But it's a matter of making sure that we, as like that type of vanguard of the working class, understand that we have a role to play in organizing the unorganized.
Absolutely. And Josh Armstead, you are 33 years old. Is that right?
33, about to be 34 in August. You know, the movement has made me a little bit old, just a little bit.
No, we're very proud of you that you are a young person working with the Unite Here. And of course, Unite Here has, as you were saying, an important history, including right now the fact that the president of the Metro Washington Council AFL-CIO is Sam Epps, who is also a Unite Here activist. So Unite Here is definitely playing a role. As Josh, as we only have a few more minutes left, unfortunately, as we face these you could say frightening days or challenging days, what are some of your messages to all of us as we continue to fight for justice and fight for rights of all people? And perhaps maybe today is Cinco de Mayo, if you want to say anything about immigrants and how Unite Here is helping some of the immigrants who have been seriously challenged these days.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, we have to remember and realize, or rather I should say, that in our days we are experiencing a burgeoning fascism unlike any in a generation, maybe, right? Like, I think the last time folks have seen this type of like behavior, you know, obviously I'm 33, so I wasn't alive during then, but like, I don't even know how to like describe it in a tangible way. Like, it's really shocking that, you know, the, you know, you expect a lot of things about this country to be kind of, for lack of a better word, on the radio, messed up. But you know, you're not expecting for people like Alberto Garcia to be snatched up. Alberto Garcia, for those who do not know or have not heard the news, is a Maryland man in our region who was snatched up without due process. A union brother of mine in SMART, the Sheet Metal Workers Union, and sent to, you know, a foreign prison, a disappearance camp, a concentration camp, let's call it what it is, in El Salvador. And, you know, we've been through in this country and, you know, in human history down this road before where the other is demonized. Oh, you know, they're rapists, they're this, they're that. And it's like, you know, that's BS, right? And so I think it's a poem by, I can't remember the gentleman, but those of you who are on and listening will probably know what I'm paraphrasing. First they came for this group, then they came for another group, right? So like, you take, for those people who are not clued in, right, like if they take one person, what makes them think they're going to not take you for what you say or who you are? It's a slippery slope. We shouldn't allow it. It's fascism. We should call it out for what it is, undeniably and unequivocally. And we have to, again, as I said before, make sure we stand in solidarity. We have to do everything that we can do to protect each other. The young man who is, you know, Alberto Garcia, who is currently in El Salvador, and all the others who have been detained and sent to this foreign country should be brought back home, right? There was no due process for them. In fact, when it comes to immigration, we should be finding real pathways to citizenship. Not just demonizing Latin American and African immigrants, right? There needs to be a real pathway. These people, I'm not even going to go into the whole employment thing or, oh, they pay taxes. No, they're people. They're people, and they deserve due process. That's just a simple matter of fact, right? Yes, and again, that is what the labor movement has to stand for. It's not just about, like, what type of, like, value you can be, you know, that capital can extract from your labor. It's about, I demand to be a human being. I demand to be a person whose worth is above capital, whose worth more than capital.
Absolutely. And I guess we're just almost about out of time. I'm very proud that you could be here with us. Josh Armstead, a union organizer with Unite Here, Local 23, standing up for the people. We hope this won't be the last time you'll be here with us on WPFW. We're proud that you're here during our the first day of our spring pledge drive. And I think... okay, can you hear me now? Okay, let's jump right into the pledge drive. This is our first Monday for this show and any show, the first Monday in the spring pledge drive. We have a goal of $750. You can make a pledge by calling 202-588-9739. 202-588-9739. You can also go to our website, wpfw.org. You'll see a big red button to the left. Donate now. You just press that and put in your information. You can also use Cash App, and that is $WPFWFM. That's an easy way to do it for those of you who know how easy Cash App is. $WPFWFM, and you can also text WPFW to 801-801, and I hope I got that right. Text WPFWFM to 801-801. We are hoping to get some new members, some young members, some older members. We're also hoping to get some sustaining members. If you pledge just $15 a month, which isn't that much for some of you, that would come out to $180 for the year, or $20 comes out to $240 for the year. So you know that we need WPFW perhaps now more than ever. Certainly now, this is our 48th anniversary. We are proud of our 48 years, and we need to be here for another 48 years at least, but we can't do that without you. You are part of us. We are family. So we're not asking you just to help us. We're asking you to help you, to help yourselves, to help your community, to help your family by having an outlet such as WPFW that you can listen to each and every day, 24/7. We are Jazz and Justice. We stand for the people. We don't stand with the fascists. We don't stand with the capitalists who are trying to destroy this country. And they're doing so far somewhat of a good job of that. But we're not going to let them continue in the path that they're going. We're going to turn them around, and we're going to claim this country for the people, for the working people. And with that said, we're going to and Magic Mike's going to help me if we've gotten any pledges yet. Hopefully we have, but we're going to keep on hoping. We're going to go now to a segment. A couple of weeks ago, we did something we called the DC Emancipation Day Speak Out. It was at the Metropolitan Washington AME Church. It was not broadcast live, but it was sponsored by two unions. Two major union organizations, Federal Unionist Network and the Metropolitan Washington Council, AFL-CIO, together with Harriet's Wildest Dreams, Free DC, The Washington Informer, and WPFW. So we're going to hear a segment of that Emancipation Day Speak Out now.
My pleasure now to bring to the microphone to introduce our panel, a writer that I'm very proud of, who works with me at the Washington Informer. I won't give a long introduction because we want to move forward, but I'm very excited that I've watched development, I've watched growth, I've watched passion, an interest in journalism, and a love for this city, Sam P.K. Collins.
Permission to speak from the elders? All right, happy DC Emancipation Day. Shout out to the first freed and those of us who descend from that and are carrying on the legacy. My illustrious employer, Denise Rolock Barnes, said, my name is Sam P.K. Collins, and I'm here to moderate a panel tonight. So let's just jump right into it. I'm going to call the panelists up to the stage one by one. I got here to my media right, Mr. Paul Sadebe of the Federal Unionist Network. Let's give him a hand, family. Be a little louder than that. He's representing the workers. All right, right here we got a sister who needs no introduction, but we're gonna introduce her anyway. We got Miss Nene Taylor of Harriet's Wildest Dreams and Free DC. The only woman on the panel. All right, we got my good man. We share the same name, so you know it's gonna be a good panel. My man Sam Epps of the Metropolitan Washington AFL-CIO. Let's give him a hand. Next up, representing PG County, an elder in the community, a longtime warrior, the Reverend Tony Lee of Community of Hope AME Church family. Let's give him a hand. Give him a hand. All right, family, y'all ready? So I'm a little biased. I'm a millennial. I love the millennials and the Gen Zs and the Gen Alphas. So, you know, I got last but not least, I definitely got to acknowledge my good man, Todd Hobson Powell of Just Democracy family. Let's give him a hand. Let's give him a hand. Definitely off to a good start. Now, you know, this Emancipation Day, and Todd did address the elephant in the room. There is a $1.1 billion budget gap that came about by no fault of our own. There's a whole budget that we had approved already, and Congress went on ahead and made that gap. So given that, I wanted to ask the panelists, and we do have to remind ourselves, there's a $400 million effort right now in terms of hiring freezes and things like that. I want the panel to just talk about what's on their mind. What are they hearing in the streets of DC right now or in their organizing circles among the people? What are people most concerned about? And what is it that we can expect as far as the people are concerned as DC and Congress continue this tug of war? Let's start with Sam first, since he was the last.
What I'm certainly focused on is this is an attack on working people, organized or unorganized. And we speak on behalf of working people and working families. And what Congress is doing is transferring wealth. Our last administration was revered because they took a different tack with working people. And what corporations saw was organized, ordinary working peoples had the power. And what they came back and said, we're not going to pay for their labor. We're going to take their health care. And so what we're going to do is we're going to come in and we're going to fire the federal government. DC has always been recession-proof because of the federal government. And some of those ancestors, like Marion Barry, who you got your first job with, many of you ended up in the federal government as GS-15s. And this is now a huge transfer of power where you are, many of you have been leading your agencies or an assistant director, and you now have a good house, you got health care, and those corporations and Elon Musk all want that back now. And it's an attack on workers, workers here in DC. So this $1 million, they don't care, it's our own money. They're saying we want it back and we're gonna make you suffer. And so we're hearing anxiety, but I'm gonna tell you, the AFL, our council, fund, is going to continue to fight both legally and take them to court on everything, but also organize. We are organizing right now. There are folks organizing in the street now to fight back on this.
Awesome. Ms. Nene.
So for me, you know, I'm up here with two hats, right? So, Oh, I'm not going to eat the mic. I'm just not. I hope y'all can hear me because I'm not going to eat the mic. I'm just not going to eat the mic. But can y'all hear me? You know, I do have my Southeast voice. So can you hear me now?
Yes, sir.
So I'm wearing two hats up here. So I'm wearing a Hers Dreams, which is an abolitionist hat. And I'm also the co-founder of Free DC. So with Free DC and Hers Dreams, with this, them trying to hold out our money and colonize DC, we're not gonna be compliant. My concern right now, the youth are out of school. The kids in Northwest have everyday services at the recreation center. The kids in Southeast don't have everyday rec. Let's be clear, I didn't go blind to that. I don't know if some of y'all saw the news and said, the kids got something to do every day. The kids in Southeast ain't got something to do every day. So I worry about them kids, those youth, that Ed Martin, if he become the U.S. attorney, mm-hmm. want to target yep. and send them to jail when they don't have a summer program. So that's what's concerning to me, because with unemployment reaps crime. With crime come enslavement.
Yeah.
So it's up to us yeah. to be non-compliant and fight back.
Yeah.
I definitely appreciate that, because you know, history is definitely cyclical. You brought up a lot of good points that we can touch on a little later, so I definitely appreciate that. Ty.
Man, I mean, the conversations that I'm hearing in the streets are probably some of the conversations you guys are hearing. DC, home of all the federal workers, once, like my brother just said, an aspirational position to have, something that we were told to go into for security that now is subject to the whims of a billionaire who has no attachment to the little realities he's destroying, right? We have DC as a historical sanctuary city, a city that called refugees and folks from all nations to come and see the American dream and experience the American dream. I'm the son of an immigrant. My mom became American in 2000, right? And so I'm the beneficiary of an America that was receptive at a point in time. What we're hearing in the streets is that maybe the DC that we've known, maybe the American that we've thought we've come to know, has shifted quite a bit. And it used to be about GOP and the liberal. This identity politics that we're in under this administration is straight up fascism. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you gotta call it that. And you have to call it that to be able to create the real strategies to fight it back. Yeah. We can't sit here and act like this is the regular political game that we're playing. Yeah. And so the fear that is driving Washington, D.C. right now is not the normal political fear about whether my side wins or loses. Yeah. It's about whether lawful U.S. citizens will be deported to El Salvador and not brought back, even though we know we made the mistake. We're in a constitutional crisis. And so we already knew, as a lack of a state, that we were subject to the vulnerabilities that this flawed democracy has showed us time and time again. So I think, to Nene's point, the biggest thing is, no matter what, we have a duty to resist. We have a duty to fight back. If we don't fight back, if we don't elevate this as an issue, who cares about this outside of DC? And again, it's because, for time and time again, DC statehood, our autonomy, our ability to govern and have rules that reflect our local will, it's been a political football. It's been back from the left, back to the right, back to the left. What we're seeing now is that people are really standing to lose lives and lose the conditions of their lives. We've seen it block needle programs, right? We've seen it block the introduction of recreational marijuana into Washington, D.C., and who's getting criminalized by that? Who was dying when the needle exchange programs weren't going through, right? So we understand that it's a racial justice issue, because the black and brown residents of Washington, D.C., those residents east of the river, like Nene just alluded to, who don't have the resources, only stand to lose when D.C. loses more resources. Yeah. It's our duty to fight. Yeah. It's our duty to fight. So wherever you are, wherever you think your front lines is, whether that is direct action, whether that is the streets, a panel, the hospital, and education, it is our duty to resist and to fight back every way that we can.
Yes, sir. Give thanks. Give thanks. All right, Reverend Lee, what's on your mind, sir, at this time?
I think one of the things that I think about is that it's not just a DC crisis, it's a regional crisis. That what happens here impacts the whole region. Yeah. What happened with federal workers is impacting a whole lot of federal workers live in Prince George's County, live in the suburban areas, right? And so it's a regional crisis that you're also witnessing. While there's deficit here, Prince George's County also has deficit. The state of Maryland also has deficit. And what happens then when we're dealing with these kind of regional crises that's shaped out of regional inequity, this focus at black and brown folks? Right, and so we have to deal with that. And the thing that hits me the most is that we're going to have to fight this in a lot of different ways. Yeah. But the operative word is fight. Yeah. We're going to have to fight it on the ground. We're going to have to be outside. We're going to have to do that. But we're also going to be having to fight to shape the safety nets for our people, because our people are very vulnerable right now. And so we have to be able to shape the things. And we're not going to be able to do it in our siloed ways we've been doing it. So the churches can't do it over here, and the business community can't do it over here, and the activists just can't do it over here, and the organizers just can't do it over here. But we have to look at how to come together and utilize all of our gifts and our talents to make more bricks with less straw. And we've got to be able to find out, how do we take a little bit and take care of folks? And if there's anything we know how to do, we know how to take a little bit and help get our folks through. We done watched our parents do it long, long time ago, right? Amen? That we done watched folks be able to take a little bit of eggs and a little bit of and a little bit of cheese and a little bit of milk and help feed the whole neighborhood, taking care of just a little bit. We've got to figure out how to organize in such a way that institutionally and organizationally we're coming together in a way that we're shaping the safety net to take care of our people to get through this season and get through this storm.
That's right. I say to that. All right, Brother Paul, take us away.
So I'm seeing this, what's happening in DC, as a pattern they want to establish for the whole country. What they see is they want to exert control in a certain way that creates a dynamic where everyone becomes at each other's throats and dependent on billionaires. They take the employment, they take the services, they take the safety net away. And then when the safety net is taken away, they act like they don't know what will happen in terms of crime and social dysfunction. But they're ready for that, because what they're going to replace services and equality and justice with is force, violence, just need. And that need is going to be entirely at the dependent of your employer. When there's no federal employment, all you have is the restaurant groups, I mean, you will be entirely at the mercy of people who don't care about your life at all, or your community, or anything that's happening in DC or in communities all across the country. They know that if they can do it here, if they can exert that control here, that sets the precedent to disinvest and to reshape society to be entirely without support everywhere. But because we can see that here and we see how existential it is here, we have the opportunity in such a small state, or small place that should be a state, the opportunity to organize here across every divide that we've had up till now. We don't have time for any of that anymore. This is a life and death situation. This is existential. So the type of coalition that I see in this crowd out here right now, that's what we need to get through this moment. And it's a time for organizing. And we're going to talk about that a lot tonight. But just remember that. It can't just be rallies. It can't just be voting for one party or another. It has to be real organization, so that you are ready to take action with other people in your community and to make it a problem for people to continue to come after your standard of living, your rights, your security, and your dignity. You have to make it a problem for them to do that. And that's what we're here to talk about.
And you were just listening to excerpts from the DC Emancipation Day Speakout on April 16th, organized by WPFW, the Washington Informer, two union groups, the Federal Unionist Network and the Metropolitan Washington Council, AFL-CIO, Harriet's Wildest Dreams, and Free DC. This is our first Monday of our spring pledge drive, and we need you to continue to support this radio station. We've been we just celebrated our 48th anniversary. Of course, we are in very challenging times, but we are family. You're part of our family. We're part of your family. We can only continue with your support. We have a goal of $750. I don't think we've gotten a pledge yet, but we still have a few more minutes left to go. You can call 202-588-9739. 202-588-9739. Make a pledge to Heal DC. We've been on the air for 33 years, just this show alone. You can also go to the website, wpfwfm.org, wpfwfm.org. That's a quick way. You just have to put in your information. Go to the big red button on the left that says donate now. And then there are two easy ways. You can go use Cash App, $WPFWFM, and put your name down there and the name of the show. If you do it by Cash App, put your name and the name of the show that you're donating to Heal DC, $WPFWFM. You can also text WPFWFM to 801-801. Text WPFWFM to 801-801. And again, I think you need to put down your name and what show you're donating it to. Of course, we're all one family, and we are indeed going through challenging times, but we've been through challenging times before. And if we support each other, this radio station is part of your fight back strategy. So we need you. We need you now, and hopefully we will get some donations for this first Monday. We usually do, but I know these are difficult times. So let's go. We're going to go back to a little bit more from that panel on April 16th.
So we know that federal government jobs and government jobs in general has always been a path to the middle class for our people. So with those under threat right now, Paul and Sam, what opportunities are there for us to recalibrate our thoughts about what class is, and what opportunity is there for us to build class solidarity at this time, now that these federal government jobs are in jeopardy?
In here, everyone's a worker. Right, and in our organizing, and I think Ty said that a little bit, talked to and got into it, which I think Kilmar Garcia, a sheet metal worker,
That's right,
who was deported. He was going to his job in Baltimore, but I live in Prince George's County, Reverend Lee. I live in Prince George's County, but you know, we have fallen under the myth that somebody's taking my job, right? And this brother came to this country and said, I want to work, and I'm going to get into an apprenticeship. And we won't fight for him because we believe he took his job. But he's the same worker that is standing next to us. And in the union, that's what that is about, right? Our class consciousness is about fighting the boss, right? Getting the best for our families and our friends. And so we need to go back to that. And that's why I'm here. And I'm happy to be here with some first-time friends and organizations, because labor needs your help right now, right? And because labor is organized. And the two things, and Reverend Lee hit it a little bit when he said his opening remark. We are sitting in a church, and in the black community, that's organized. And then the second one, the class consciousness, is we all labor, right? We get our jobs. I know I grew up with my grandfather working in the steel mill. He would work, get his wages, take the check home. He would go to church on Sunday, and he would give his 10% to the church, right? For the work of the church, but it also allowed him to raise his family, right? Raise five, six kids. So now we need to go back to that, the church, the community. We need to go in and talk to young folks in Southeast, how they can get in the union, get organized, why it's important to advance, and what the benefits of being organized. And the other side knows why we're organized, why they don't want us to be organized, because they want to create division. They want us to think that somebody's taking our job, someone don't speak like me, someone don't dress like me, someone is married to someone that don't look like someone I'm married to. And so they have created this consciousness that has economic impact on your family, but also on our city, right? The city, the region, right? Prince George's County is a company town. There are federal government workers there that have $700,000 houses who will not be able to pay their mortgages tomorrow, right? And so we must think about that, and I hope Elise will sing this song. In our union, the most important word in unionism is solidarity. Right? And so that's what we need right now. And we need solidarity. And it doesn't matter if you're in a union or out of a union, you're a community group, you're an activist, you're the church. And I'm certainly standing here on behalf of the Metropolitan Washington Council saying, we want to be a part of that solution as well, too, in this community, in solidarity forever.
Yes.
Yeah. Thanks.
Okay, you were just listening to Sam Epps, who is the head of the Metropolitan Washington AFL-CIO, also active with Unite Here. And he's talking about solidarity. We need solidarity from our listeners. We're all in the same family. And before we leave, I believe we have a special word from Lydia Curtis about what's happening with the DC Teachers Union. Lydia, are you on?
Good morning. Thank you for having me, Joni. And I appreciate this opportunity to talk about Washington Substitute Teachers United. I'm going to give out an important phone number twice later on in my 2-minute speech. So I want people to get their pens and cell phones ready. Substitute teachers that work for DCPS are angry and frustrated because although when we were hired, we were required to have a bachelor's degree, we were and are still grossly underpaid. Most of us make $20 an hour. And for what we do with our bachelor's, and some of us have master's and some of us have have legal degrees, for what we do in the classroom at a moment's notice, $20 an hour is not enough. Since 2018, we have been organizing for higher pay and union representation. The latest blow is that we were told that effective March 1st of this year, that we would not be allowed to take certain jobs or be paid for certain professional developments. This is not good. This is unfair. And it affects our pocketbooks, our bottom lines, and our wallets. So we decided to start raising our voices.
Wait, Lydia, can I just ask you, what do you mean by not being able to take certain jobs? Explain what that means.
The substitute availability listings come out every day. And and we used to be able to sign up for whatever was convenient. And also the principal or the business manager at the school could put you in a slot where you were needed, right? Now there's certain restrictions that came out where they can't do that anymore. It's more restricted. It's kind of weedy, but we know that so there are less jobs available for us. In other words, and so we asked for an explanation for that, and you know, to sit down to meet about that, but we did not get that meeting. And so take this number and I'll tell you what to do. 202-361-0501. We decided to raise our voices more often and to organize more because we're tired of being either pushed around or ignored. If you're out there and you agree that substitute teachers working every day with your kids deserve more, or if you're a substitute teacher frustrated by poverty wages, or if you're a worker, period, who wants to stand in solidarity with us at 4 p.m. today outside in the rain, please call or text this number, 202-361-0501. Everything's under embargo for the next few hours, but when you call, I will share with you the location and the details. Bring your umbrella and your voice. Thank you, Joni, for this couple of minutes to let people know and let the union people that are on know, you know, that we're vulnerable. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Lydia. And of course, with what's happening in education, public education across the board, it's bad enough. But to hear that this is happening to substitutes teachers, only $20 an hour?
202-361-0501. I will inform everybody.
Thank you.
It is terrible.
That is indeed horrific. Mm-hmm. And it's bad enough what's happening with public education in general, but this and makes it.
Uh-huh. The beauty of it is that a lot of us are older and retired and are coming out of other careers. We bring all that richness, knowledge, and wisdom. Plus, we bring our bachelor's degree, which was required. I think they have lifted that, which is not good either. But but most of us, in addition to that minimum degree, have advanced degrees. I have an advanced degree. And a lot of people, so quite a few lawyers and professionals from other fields have advanced degrees, and we need to be respected for that.
Absolutely. And I know that you are a magnificent teacher, as are probably all of the substitute teachers in Washington, D.C., though. So thank you very much, Lydia. And we are honoring labor today on this show. May Day was Thursday, we're going to honor workers 365 days of the year. In our next hour, we're going to be talking with Josh Williams, who is a hero in this area and on this radio station. And he's going to be talking about the history of labor movement, where we are, where we were yesterday, today, and where we need to be tomorrow. So thank you again, Lydia. And hope
thank you for your work.
Thank you. And you can help encourage listeners. Again, we have just a few more minutes to go. I don't know if we've made any, that would be something if we didn't get any contributions this morning. We usually do pretty well, but you never know. 202-588-9739, 202-588-9739. Of course, we had a great day on Saturday in honoring James Brown's birthday, and we're going to be honoring Malcolm X in a couple weeks. But right now this is a show dedicated to labor today. We used to celebrate May Day, and the powers that be made it no longer official holiday in this country, but it's celebrated all over the world in many hundreds of countries. So please give us a call and show their support for the radio station in general, 202-588-9739, WPFW.FM.org is the website. Cash App is $WPFW FM, and put your name and who the show you're dedicating it to. And then last but not least, text WPFW FM to 801-801. And Mikey, is it true we haven't gotten a single pledge? That'll be unique.
We have one. We want to thank Thomas from Washington, D.C. Yeah, we want to thank Thomas from Washington, D.C.
Yeah,
and encourage other listeners to call in and pledge at 202-588-9739. Or you can go to our website at wpfwfm.org and pledge your support for Heal DC and Joni.
Thank you. Thank you, Mikey. And again, I was out in the streets a lot this past week, so I'm a little tired. But we really wanted to bring you some of the voices of labor today, and we continue to celebrate workers. We continue to organize for workers as the powers that be tries to strip away the rights of unions, as you'll hear in a few moments when we're joined by Josh Williams. So we're going to go out again with the song we came in with, Standing with the Ancestors, and this is sung by Elise Bryant. We'd like to thank the DC Labor Chorus and the Labor Heritage Foundation, Chris Garlock, for helping us with this, sharing this music. DC Labor Chorus had a magnificent concert on Saturday, and this is one of the many songs they sang. So see you at 11.
On the shoulders of the ancestors. What a gift of roots, what a gift of love. Standing on the shoulders of the ancestors.
Here we go.
Standing, we are standing. Standing on the shoulders of the ancestors. We are standing.
I'm Janelle Anderson. I've been listening to WPFW since the 80s. It has helped manage my lifestyle, and that listening to health programs turned me away from the hormone antibiotic meats. I've been a pescatarian since I had my girls listen to WPFW on the way to school, and that I believe they became organizers for justice. One co-founded a justice club in her high school, and another helped organize demonstrations. And I think today they are the better for just listening to those morning programs. I love the diverse format, from jazz to inspirational to talk. The programming has really grown me, and for those reasons and more, I support WPFW.
In celebration of the life and legacy of activist and composer Bernice Johnson Regan, Wise Regan Arts and Strathmore presents Over My Head, I Hear Music in the Air, a night of song, poetry, and reflection, featuring Toshi Regan with special guests Liz Wright, Alexis Pauline Gums, original members of the Freedom Singers, and more. Friday, May 16th at the Strathmore. Information at strathmore.org.
My Body, My Festival 2025, DC's only abortion access music festival, is coming May 16th and 17th. Presented by the DC Abortion Fund and Burger Sounds, My Body, My Festival will take place at the Black Cat and Union Stage, featuring local artists across genres, including Alex Vaughn, Carly Harvey, Cicely, Taisha Estrada, B. Steadwell, Zoe Jorgensen, and more. My Body, My Festival is a celebration of our city and ensuring abortion care is available to all who need it. Details at mybodymyfestival.com.
How to get WPFW swag in your life? Items that say, I support jazz and justice without saying a word. We've got you covered. Details and browsing at WPFWFM.org. Again, that's WPFWFM.org.
WPFW has been a site of resistance in defense of truth, justice, and culture for 48 years. Our spring membership drive begins with a special celebration of James Brown's birthday, May 3rd, and closes with a centennial birthday celebration of Malcolm X on May 19th. Two pillars of music and message. Your financial sustenance is needed more than ever to continue this type of programming. As a new listener or current member, this is your opportunity to contribute to the growth of an institution that stands resolute against both gross injustice and repression and the mass erasure of history and culture by amplifying the voices of scholars, artists, and activists whose work centers the humanity of all people. That's 48 years of being a site of resistance in defense of truth, justice, and culture, May 3rd through the 19th. WPFW works daily to build the world we want to inhabit by building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
How we gonna make reparations?
Reparations Valley, Saturday, May 17th, a festival of unity and celebration of the ongoing quest for reparations, as well as the 100th anniversary of the birth of Malcolm X. Speakers include Michael Eric Dyson, Robin Ruth Simmons, O'Malley Yeshitela, Ajua Ayatoro, with first